This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
This is odd, and this may be unfair. I will like a person more or less based on the teams that, yes, in fact, they root for. Like Gunling.
God hates me.
Love Gunling. Think less of him because he roots for the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's not fair.
I see a man in a Cowboys jersey, and I think to myself, that's not someone I would really want to associate with.
You might need to seek professional help.
You're right.
This is DCR.
Ryan and Hackensack.
You would look down on me. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, I do.
On 98.7 ESPN. How you like me now?
Oh, the big 6 o'clock hour. I think there's a chance, Chris, this could be the greatest hour that we've ever done since we've started the show. I don't know why I have that feeling. I just have that feeling.
Now, do you genuinely feel that way, Dave? Because the guys behind the glass told me during the break that they asked you that same question, what you thought the 6 o'clock hour could be, and they said you were very non-committal.
Well, and I'll tell you why. They said, how do you think the 5 o'clock hour went? By the way, it's time now for Straight Talk, and this is going to be some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. They said, how do you think the 5 o'clock hour went? I said, well, they said, do you believe RJ? Because I don't know why RJ's needling me for some reason. Maybe because I called him out yesterday for his stupid line of questioning before the show. Maybe, possibly. So he said, do you think this is going to be a better hour? I said, I mean, how can I answer that? And then I wouldn't answer it because I thought the first hour was good. So he said, is it going to be a better hour? I deflected. And they said, answer the question. They really kind of put me on the spot. Answer the question. So I decided in the moments from having that conversation with them to getting the mic hot again and starting the 6 o'clock hour. Yes. In fact, this is going to be a better hour and this is going to be a sensational hour. So my non-committal has turned into greatness. Greatness.
Yeah, Dave, that's the kind of energy I'm going to need for you to have. I need you to be 10 toes down while we're doing this show, and it's got to get better. It needs to be like fine wine. It only gets better as we go longer. You know what I'm saying? That's the type of vibe I need from you because you're driving the show. You're the one that's steering the ship. If you're on the fence about what it's going to be, if you don't think it's going to be great, then we're not going to make great radio. So I'm on the ship, Omar.
Let me ask you this. What do you think, because we've had kind of a therapeutic first hour, and we got into some of my craziness and fandom and how I look down on people who do not root for the Giants. But let me ask you this. How can I be better, Chris? What can I do in your mind to be better hour two and hour three than I was in hour one? I would like some constructive criticism, if at all possible.
Dave, I don't know that there's anything that you necessarily need to do better. I just think there are some things that we can do more of. Like, we love involving listeners on our show. So, I mean, Ryan Hurley, our program director, is going to love hearing this. But I would say just make sure that we hear from our listeners because they want to chime in on what's going on right now. I mean, you saw how the phone lines lit up when we started talking Knicks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we can get a little Yankees talk going in there. Maybe get on your Mets a little bit with them getting the win down in South Florida finally. Like, I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can go, but any avenue that we take, we got to involve the listeners. We got to bring them with us.
All right, so let's bring – and you know what else? And this is a term that I came up with the younger days in radio. I call it trust the speakers radio, where if I listen through the speakers and I like what I'm hearing, I trust the speakers, and now I feel confident about the direction of the show. So TTS for short.
Dave, TTS.
TTS, trust the speakers. Trust the speakers radio in the 6 and 7 o'clock hours this morning. You want callers? We got callers. We'll get to the Yankees and the Mets in just a moment. Let's go to Anthony and Hawthorne. Anthony, good morning. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Dave,
Anthony.
I'm happy that you're back. I'm a big fan of the show. Chris, I'm a big fan. I'm a Ravens fan, so I love when you played in Baltimore, man. Thank you.
My man.
I just want to say, if you're a Knicks fan, I don't know how you couldn't love this move. This move is going to make everybody better on the team. Julius Randle does not have to take up the ball anymore. He does not have to control the offense. It's going to be less wear and tear on him. It's going to make Obi Toppin better. Emmanuel quickly and Derrick Rose, you know, could split bench time and just think this is a great move that the Knicks made, and thanks for taking my call, guys.
Well, you're very welcome. Chris, I'll stand by it, and this is kind of my mantra with the move. If he's healthy, this is a home run of a move. And if he's not, you know what? We don't know the exact financials yet on this. I can't imagine it's going to be for a ton of money or a ton of time either.
No, Dave. I mean, listen, it's not like there were a lot of teams that were lined up to throw Kemba Walker big money once he got bought out in OKC. So, I mean, I just feel like this is one of those situations where it fell your way if you're the Knicks. Like, you're taking a little bit of a flyer on a guy that has some injury concerns of late. But, I mean, if he's truly put those behind him, then you're getting somebody that can be a dynamic playmaker in your backcourt, which is something that this team has been starved for, so much so that they had to make a deal at the deadline last year in order to bring over Derrick Rose. And it turns out that move was a godsend, but you also realize that Derrick Rose is on borrowed time because of his injury history. So being able to put both of these guys together, I know there are a lot of question marks in terms of them being able to stay healthy, but I think they both help each other in terms of sharing the load and being the guy that has to be on the court to be a difference maker for everybody else. So I like the move. I don't think it's going to be anything that costs you in terms of future flexibility, in terms of any of the other moves that you might be looking to make down the road. But in the here and now, I think this could make a significant impact on what we see on the court from the Knicks this upcoming season.
It very infrequently will I get a tweet. We got to hear from this guy. I want this guy to call. We need to get his take. But I got multiple tweets. I want to hear from Omar in Brooklyn. So let's hear from Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
How are you? Good morning.
I feel like this is the appetizer. Like you are giving us a little shrimp cocktail, and you're gonna explode into surf and turf in a moment. Go ahead.
Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you, Omar.
And you came back, and we get a good news. You're a true Knicks fan, and I'm excited. How more I get excited? This is the first time in the last 20, 25 years I have gotten excited a lot of things, but Walker, I'm not even a great fan because he went to Boston, right? But when hearing yesterday, from no expectation, and suddenly to hear, and the guy who is hungry, who wants to, and who leaves the money, buy out, and want to play for the Knicks, that is the exciting part. That's what fan base are so excited about. Everybody is getting excited. This is the first time that the guy is leaving money, wants to come back here, and wants to play for the Knicks, and wants to do something. He will be hungry. He will be excited. I'm hungry. We become better. Not a little bit better. We became a lot better. Here it is, my prediction. Here it is. Brooklyn Nets, top seed. Milwaukee Bucks, number 2 seed. New York Knicks, a 3rd seed.
Oh, my gosh.
So, we are better than Philadelphia. And Atlanta, I have my reservation. I'm still itching. I want to face that series again. I want to be hungry. At this time, you just see that at floor, we will have Julius Randle, R.J. Barrett, Fournier, Walker, and Derrick Rose. And we cannot buy a basket. Well, stop us if you can. Come on, let's go. We are waiting for the season. And I bet that Atlanta, New York Knicks will be the homecoming, the first game of the season that we can blow them out. I am ready. I'm pumped up. Let's go ready. The Knicks fans are ready. Come on, Walker. We'll appreciate you. The homecoming, the first game against Atlanta Hawks, and we start from there.
Omar, let me get this from you. And I know you got the Bills coming up, and I mean, you got to be on cloud nine about your team. Here's what I want. I know. I can hear the smile on your face. I want you to just scream into the phone, let's go. Just a loud, let's go.
Let's go, Knicks. Let's go, Bills. New York all over. New York is ready. New York is bumping. Get ready, New York big fans.
Love it. Thank you,
Love
Omar.
It from Omar. Love the energy.
He's so funny. New York love is it. Pumping. Is that what he said?
Dave, I love Omar. Even when you can't understand him, you got to love the energy.
New York is pumping. I love him.
Yeah, New York is pumping.
New York is pumping.
At 6:12 in the morning, we're pumping.
And that is Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. All right, Chris Canty. I mean, I got to be honest. 5 o'clock hour, great. First 12 minutes of 6 o'clock hour, maybe surpassing what we saw in the five. Because that's the greatness, and that's Trust the Speakers. 800-919-3776. Your Yankees, I mean, you know, you watch these games now, and it's kind of like they're going to win. Even down 3-0. If this was, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, 5 weeks ago, down 3-0, Orioles, you would have said, uh-oh. But I think now the thought was the lineup is so long, Rizzo uh-oh. Has been so good, they're going to find their way back into the game, and they won really what turned out to be a laugher at Yankee Stadium last night.
No, it was, Dave, but that's what it's supposed to be when you're playing against the Baltimore Orioles, who are 31 games below 500, right? That's what it should look like. The Yankees being able to pummel them 10-3. I mean, I know that the O's got out to that early lead, and it was that fluke fly ball from Mountcastle early on, and it feels like there were fluke fly balls falling in all over the place behind the infield last night for both teams. But, I mean, you saw Tyone settle in, Dave, and he was surgical. I mean, at one point, Dave, he struck out 5 straight, retired 7 in a row. I mean, the guy had 10 strikeouts, and he's just been absolutely money for this team since the All-Star break. At a time when his team really needs it because you're dealing with some questions with starting pitching and guys being in COVID protocols. But, I mean, Tyone being able to go out there and give you what he gave you last night, 6 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 10 Ks, and only 2 earned runs, I mean, that sets the stage for the Yankees to be able to take care of their business. And last night, the lineup didn't disappoint. So it's a good win for the Yankees, but it's one that I expected because you got to stack series wins when you're playing against the dregs of baseball.
And they are the dregs of baseball. And Matt Harvey was decent early on in that game as well. I would imagine, Chris, that you've completely fallen head over heels in love, like full bloom, like Gettleman said, with Anthony Rizzo at this point.
How could you not, Dave? I mean, the guy has a 13-pitch at-bat in the first inning. Now, it doesn't lead to the results that you're looking for because Aaron Judge grounds into a double play. But, I mean, he hits the home run in the fourth to get the team on the board. He's had an RBI in the first 6 games he's been in the pinstripes. I mean, he's just bringing an element to the lineup that we just didn't have, which is a guy that's going to be really good, put together really solid at-bats at the top of your order. He's going to get on base, and he has the potential to drive guys in. And then he plays pretty good defense at first base. So, I mean, there's really nothing not to like about Rizzo. I mean, and beyond that, it just feels like he's the shot in the arm that this team has been looking for, that this lineup has been looking for, Dave. And I think Aaron Boone probably put it best in the postgame yesterday. He said he finally feels like the weight of the lineup is paying dividends. Like it's a more balanced lineup
now.
You got more lefties in there, and it just feels like having to go through all of those different hitters, all of those guys present different challenges for opposing pitchers, and you're going to get some opportunities. You're going to get some pitches to hit. And we know that this Yankees team is built on being able to drive balls, extra base hits, hitting the ball over the fence. You're finally starting to see a lot more of that. So I just feel like it's trending in the right direction. I'm not going to jump all the way in, Dave, because we are talking about the O's and we are talking about the Marlins. But we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, this is the time of year, and this is the part of the schedule where the Yankees can get on a little bit of the roll. The lineup for the first time has had back-to-back double-digit scoring games. So let's see if they can keep it going.
You mentioned that extended at-bat from Anthony Rizzo in the first inning, a 13-pitch at-bat. Here's the skipper on the at-bat, Aaron Boone.
You know, just kind of that you start to smile a little bit inside because it's one of those at-bats like early on in a game, you know, and that – you know, it's like somebody just hit a triple. You know, it starts to get the crowd into it, and it's building, 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 and he's getting off a lot of good swings. He's seen everything, works the walk. We got the middle of our order coming up, and it's like, okay, what could this lead to? And I think everyone's kind of thinking that's one of those at-bats that could lead to something. It didn't tonight, but it's definitely enjoyable to watch those when our guys are grinding away like that.
Yankees are, you can feel it. They're a different team at the moment than they have been for the first couple of months of the season.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I was talking to RJ about this just moments ago during the break. Would you like me to say something at the wedding, Chris? Like, do you think that I, at some point during RJ's wedding, go up there and, like, a lull, grab the mic and just kind of, you know, introduce myself and hold court for a minute and say something nice about RJ and Ange?
Well, Dave, first of all, I think you'd have to check with the happy couple to see if they would be okay with it. And if they do give you the go-ahead, then I think what happens then, it has to be genuine.
Oh, of course.
As long as it's genuine and authentic coming from you, I think it'll be welcome to everybody that's there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's probably space for you to do something like that. But first, you got to check in with RJ and Ange, make sure they're cool with it.
Now, RJ, maybe it was tongue in cheek, but he said, "I have the green light." And the analogy he used was like Vince Coleman on the base paths, like green light, go ahead. RJ, this is accurate. I can go up there. And I'm not saying we're like first dance or you know, father of the bride giving a toast. But if I sense a lull, I can go up there and, you know, tap the mic and hi, everyone. Thanks for coming, and kind of introduce myself and say a little something.
So you're our microwave. You are our instant offense off the bench. Uh-huh. When things are getting slow, we're going to throw you up there. And just, you have to go generate some offense, is what you're
now,
saying.
Now, here's what I'd like to know from you.
Sure.
Two things. Are you being sincere?
Yeah.
Firstly.
Yeah.
And secondly, do you want this to be scripted, like Niners' first 15 plays?
No.
Or do you want me to go up there and just wing it? Just go up there and from the heart give some kind of a speech?
Yeah, that's what I need, I think. I mean, it probably depends on what time it is of what you're going up there to say and how advanced you are through the evening, I would say. But
that's a good way of putting it, RJ. That is a good way of putting it. It just depends on how lubricated you are, which yeah. direction you take it.
But I think the proper amount of lubrication, you could get one of the great speeches of all time.
Proper, yes, but too yeah. much, and we could find ourselves, you know, you know, three questions.
That's right. Will there be a dump button?
To stump Rothenberg. No, not to my knowledge.
So I go up there, I grab the mic. All right, everybody. 1-800-919-3776. Stump Rothenberg, let's go. Any questions you got? Come on, bring them my way.
And then you just fall over.
Let's get pizza.
It'll be the first time he actually loses Stump Rothenberg. Wow.
I would like to say something.
Well, Dave, as long as you say something and it's not, you know, it's heartfelt, I don't think you can go wrong, my man.
But it was cool. Of course it would be heartfelt. I
just don't want you to
RJ.
Feel like you have to say something because you're there, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want you to get into that, well, I feel like I've got to say something. I know Rick is performing the ceremony.
Yeah, there might be a little bit of that.
Fall into that trap.
Rick is going to be performing. I don't know how this happens still, but he's going to be performing the ceremony. You're going to be welcoming in people, you know, with the clarinet. And yeah, I think that at some point, you know, the third member of the show should go up there, take the mic and say something.
Well, yeah, but I don't want you to feel like you've got to say something just for the sake of doing something or being a part of the wedding. Like, being there is enough. Like, being there is going to make it a special day for RJ and Ange. Don't feel like you have to do more than that. Now, if you want
to
do something
I would like to.
Okay.
I feel a closeness to RJ, and I feel a closeness to Ange.
I mean, we all do.
And their unity makes me want to emote, and I'd like to say something at the wedding, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that speech.
Yeah. You may know me from my work in the mornings on 98.7 ESPN, 5 to 8 on DCR.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
You what was it? You may know him from the That's My Mama episode. What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you're going to take it to Coming in America, huh? You're going to have Randy Watson moment at RJ's wedding.
Welcome Randy Watson to the stage. Yeah. Oh, I could go anywhere. Absolutely. All right. So 800-919-3776. I'll put something down. Maybe just like a loose outline, and then I'll really hammer it home the day.
Dave, I would love it if you showed up in the same tuxedo that Randy Watson wore.
The blue one with the ruffles?
Oh, I would love it. Dave, I'd pay for you to have one of those on. Pay good money for it. Oh.
Would you pay me to do it?
In that tuxedo.
Would you pay? Forget about paying for it. Would you pay me to do it?
Yes, I'd pay you to do it.
How much?
Oh, man. What would move the needle for you is the question. See, that's what it comes down to. Like, what would move the needle for you?
Throw out a number, and I can. Let me just tell you before we start, I can absolutely be purchased.
Well, see, you're throwing out a number. Here's the thing. I've already got to commit to a wedding present for RJ and Ange,
correct.
And what I pay you to wear the tuxedo can't be more than what I'm going to give them on their special day.
Yeah, I don't like that you're turning this into a for-profit endeavor for you.
Exactly.
Well,
that's the other side.
Well, why would I make myself look ridiculous for nothing? What's the point of that?
For our entertainment value,
yeah,
Dave.
That's
you
right.
want to make it a special occasion. That's a way to add to it.
How about this? Can I wear a Giants jersey to the wedding?
No.
Why?
No.
No, because
why?
Then people are going to use your theory. They're going to look at you different.
No, I think they would have ultimate respect. This is a man that and the Giants will it'll make sense because the Giants will actually be playing at the time of the wedding.
If anyone were to wear a Giants jersey, it would be the guy that played for the Giants.
There you go.
Which is Chris.
So let's do it together.
Why would you have one?
Why would I not? I love the Giants.
I see what this is turning into. What? This is we're talking about for-profit suit appearances. You're viewing this as one.
Let's get the wedding sponsored
as one big talent appearance. That's what this is for you.
Can I charge a talent fee to the station for my appearance at the wedding?
On Tuckett's going to be there. Your 18 cameramen will be there.
Send an invoice to Ryan Hurley.
Yes, yes. Why am I getting this bill? I went to the Santillo wedding. I'm the talent. Would you want us to do a podcast with all the videographers and video equipment at the wedding?
I have TJ. I have Nico.
Only if I can get the half price headcount for them as if they're vendors. I can't keep adding headcount. We're at our hard cap.
Something has to be done at the like. Okay, so Chris, let's get back to the original conversation. Mm-hmm. For me to wear the Randy Watson tuxedo, how much for profit would be coming my way?
Would a couple of $100 do it for you, Dave? Is that enough?
I'm the talent. I don't think so.
You don't think so? So what's the number then? You tell me. What's the number that you have in mind that would make it worth it for you to wear the Randy Watson powder blue tuxedo with the ruffles?
$500, and you have to either purchase or rent the tuxedo for me.
Oh, so now you're adding in another expense. I thought you said forget about. I said I would offer to pay for the tuxedo, but now you're saying you want me to pay for the tux and pay you to wear it.
Correct.
That's too much. That's too much. I feel like you're depriving RJ's guests of a really special experience, though. I mean, truly memorable, you showing up with that tuxedo on, giving a speech, and then dropping the mic at the end of it like sexual chocolate. I mean, Dave, that takes the wedding to a whole nother level.
Will you be in the crowd as I give the speech and turn to Rick and Boy, say, that boy good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know it, Dave. Absolutely. And I'll put a chicken bone in the collection plate. Come on, man. I got you.
That boy's good.
The collection plate.
The collection plate. For
RJ. I got to give this to some thought. I don't know that I can go up there and be sincere and genuine wearing the Randy Watson tuxedo.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I want to get to the Mets. We'll do that in just a moment. I forgot this. Story happened yesterday, Chris. I will tell you in the 7 o'clock hour, I think you will be greatly entertained. Greatly entertained.
All right, Dave. You know when you start putting a lot on it, there's going to be high expectations.
It'll be another one of those, what's wrong with you? But I believe there'll be great entertainment. And RJ said, where are we going here? Like, what is this from? Youth coaching. And I will leave it at that.
Okay. All right.
Let's go to Dino in the Bronx and say good morning to Dino. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Can you hear me?
We hear you fine, Dino. Loud and clear.
Real quick, before I get to the Mets, the first thing you got to say at RJ's wedding is, and welcome aboard.
I love it. I love it. I'll go up there with the mic and welcome aboard. That's
love
right.
It.
There you go. That's it. I wanted to ask that. How do you guys think the Mets look now since they didn't make those trades that everybody was hoping for? And being that teams like Philly are closing in, like, how do you think they're looking so far now?
I don't feel good about it at all, to be honest, Dino. And thanks for the call. I the Mets win last night. Everything, you know what, Chris, and the Yankees were like this for a lot of the season. Everything's a struggle. Every single thing is difficult. You know, you have a 3-0 lead. Carrasco's pitching well. You know you don't have Diaz, and you think to yourself, all right, maybe we'll just walk away with this game. And then Aguilar hits the home run. You're tied. You're stressed. Nothing is easy with this team at the moment. Philly wins. Atlanta wins. I'd be lying to you if I said I felt good at all about this club.
No, you can't feel great about it. I mean, it feels like it's shaky every single night out, and you know that the Phillies and the Braves are nipping at your heels, and the Phillies blew out the Nationals last night. But, I mean, I guess it's just one of those things, like you're hoping that this team can kind of catch fire. And I will say this, Dave, Javi Baez, the dude just plays with so much energy, man. I mean, the swim move that he put on Alex Jackson in that second inning to score that run, I mean, that's a swim move that a defensive lineman can be proud of. Like, that was damn impressive. And then Cookie Carrasco was good, too. I mean, the first four innings, he pretty much cruised through it, got into a little bit of trouble in the fifth. They pulled him. They put Loop in. And you know, they tacked on a couple of runs in that inning. But, I mean, I just feel like there are going to have to be some guys that kind of, you know, I guess carry the flag in terms of getting this thing turned around for the Mets and getting on a little bit of a roll. And I feel like last night, two of those guys, you know, showed up in a big way, that being Carrasco and Javi Baez.
Baez is terrific. He's a guy that concerned me just because he's so emotional, and we've seen moments where he doesn't run and there's a lack of hustle and a lack of, I don't know, involvement in the game. But, boy,
It hadn't looked like he was in a Mets uniform.
No, not at all, Chris.
In a Mets uniform.
And you talk about playing with a chip on your shoulder. Like, it's almost like he looks for things to incite him and to get him angry. Like, you know, this guy's yelling at me, and he goes after the pitcher on a fly ball the other night, and last night he's chirping at the fans. Like, I love the energy that he brings to the table. And have you heard this? They mentioned it during the broadcast, and I saw the tweet from John Heyman last night. I guess there's real consideration now that when Lindor comes back, Lindor obviously goes back to short, and now they'll put Baez at third and keep McNeil at second because they figure Baez can play anywhere comfortably and McNeil is most comfortable playing second base. So it looks like you're going to have Alonso, McNeil, Lindor, and Baez as your infield. That's a heck of an infield.
That's a heck of an infield, and you know, having those guys in your lineup, I think is going to give you an opportunity for the offense to get things turned around too. I mean, and last night you saw it, a couple of guys that you know you're going to have better second halves than first halves if you're going to get to the playoffs. Like, those guys showed up. I mean, Michael Conforto had a multi-hit game. Baez, Dom Smith got things started with the double to the right field corner. Like you're going to need those guys. Jeff McNeil, like, you're going to need those guys to step up and try to start scoring runs, just knowing the state that your pitching staff is in, if this team is going to want to get where they want to go. Like, if you're going to maintain this lead in the National League East, your offense has to be a lot better than it has been, and those guys are going to have to play huge roles in doing that. And so it was good to kind of see that in last night's game. Now, we got to put everything in its proper perspective. You're talking about the Miami Marlins, which is an awful team.
Horrendous.
And they're terrible. There's no other way to look at it. They're 16 games below 500. Like, they're bad. So you should be able to get your offense on a roll against them people. But, I mean, the fact that you actually went out there and did it last night as opposed to the first two games you had against them, I mean, it's a step in the right direction. But, yeah, I don't know how you could feel comfortable about where the Mets are at if you're a Mets fan.
I don't think you can. Now, Javi Baez, after the game, he spoke to the media, and Luis Rojas as well, on Baez. And again, he adds this energy and this excitement to everything that he does. And here he is on the energy that he brings to the Mets.
I'll be the same every day. I'll be the same guy every day. I'm going to be around them. I'm going to bring my energy. I think we just got to stop paying attention to what's outside and the things that we can't control. You know, I think this is one of the best team in our division. So I think they should pay attention to us, not us to them, you know? So we just got to slow down a little bit and just play pitch by pitch.
But they've been awful. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I mean, since the All-Star break, this team has been bad, right? They've lost to the Pirates. They lost to the Reds. They've, at best case, they're going to go 2-2 in this four-game set against the Marlins. Like, they're not playing well. So you say, don't worry about anybody else. You have kind of forced our hands. And not him. He's here for five games. But the Mets have forced their hands that I need to pay attention to Philadelphia. I need to pay attention to what Atlanta's doing. So, yeah, I'm sorry. That ship has sailed. I'm all in on scoreboard watching the rest of the way.
Dave, this is a huge three-game set you got with the Phillies this weekend. I mean, absolutely huge. I mean, what you're looking at is Stroman for the series opener. Then you got McGill and then Taijuan Walker. Like, I mean, you got to have strong starting pitching. Each one of those guys has had to have the A game. And I guess Taijuan Walker is the one that you would look at and say, you know, we need you to, you know, come back to the guy that we saw in the first half of this season. The performances that led to you kind of being an all-star, they need that type of production from him in this game. Like, that's what you're going to have, because, I mean, The Phillies feel like they're trying to get on a little bit of a roll.
They're right there. They're a game and a half back.
I don't trust them. I don't trust them. I don't like that team. But, I mean, it feels like they're trying to do something. They have a little bit of urgency to them, more so than what we've seen from the Mets in the second half. So, I mean, if I'm a Mets fan, I'm looking at this weekend, and I'm a little concerned.
I think you have to be. See, I agree with you. I didn't trust them either. But I guess my question would be this at this point. Do I trust the Mets less than I trust Philadelphia? And the answer to that might be yes. Like the Mets,
trust the speakers.
The Mets are not good. I do not trust the Mets at the moment. So I don't think Philadelphia is great by any stretch, and I have no confidence in their bullpen. And you know, it's going to pain me if Zach Wheeler goes out there and throws a gem, because he should probably be a member of the Mets. But I mean, yeah, I don't trust Philly either, Chris. But I might trust the Mets less than I trust Philly.
And I hear what you're saying, but if we, you know, use the phrase, look at the back of the baseball card, I mean, I think the Mets have more guys that you would have confidence in than the Phillies do. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know, Dave. It's hard to say based on how the Mets have played the last couple of weeks, but, I mean, this is setting up to be a huge series. And, I mean, listen, whoever wins the series is probably going to be in the driver's seat in the NL East. So, yeah, I mean, this was an opportunity going to Miami for the Mets to kind of, you know, continue to, you know, stack a series win, like get a series win, and then go into this three game set with the Phillies feeling good about yourselves. But now, I mean, you're fighting for dear life in terms of trying to hold on to your lead, and yeah, that's not where you want to be.
Rich Hill on the mound against Rodgers for Miami, who's actually a really good pitcher. More on Javi Baez. Here's Luis Rojas discussing Baez's impact on the field for his club.
This guy's a special player. I mean, of course, the home run for me is the biggest highlight, of course, right? To take the lead, the slide at home plate, you forget about these things, right? I mean, for me, it's a short out just with the timing of the play. And then next thing you know, you see his hand touching the play before they tag in. So, I mean, he's a special player. He can beat you. He can beat you in so many ways. And defensively, he makes some plays look easy. They're not. I mean, they hit some bullets at him, and he was just on his toes, just ready to catch him. So, outstanding player. I mean, that's where he shows up. He can show up in any area, and he can beat you.
He's terrific. He really is. And he adds this energy to every single game. Did you play with guys like this that like they had to find a dislike within the other team, the fans, is something just to motivate them and bring them to this new level every single game?
Yeah, Dave, I played with some maniacs. Like Jay Ratliff, nose tackle, all pro down in Dallas. He was in my draft class. That dude would turn whoever he was playing against that week into his mortal enemy. Like he would do research, find out everything there was to know about the guy, and it's just like it was like a war for him, you know, going up against that guy. Like, I mean, there's guys up and down the line. Justin Tuck was that way, getting himself worked up before games about who he was going to play against. Terrell Suggs, the same kind of mentality. Like, there are a bunch of guys that do that. But what it does do, Dave, for the rest of the guys that are in the locker room, it does provide that bit of a spark. It does create that sense of urgency. And you know, that's infectious. And right now, the Mets could use a whole lot more of that, because we've been saying it about, you know, the lineup all year long. It's just like, when are these guys going to start coming around? When are they going to start hitting? When are they going to start playing with a little bit of urgency? And it feels like Javi Baez has the potential to be able to bring that for the team. Now we're just kind of waiting for it to rub off on everybody else. But, I mean, again, I don't like the fact that the best they can do is a series split against the Marlins, because to me that's one of those teams that you got to try to get fat on. I mean, on the season, they're 3-7 against the Marlins. That's not what you want.
No, not even a little bit. You know what it is, what we want? What we want, what we need. Little observations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. Another genius point by you.
And these are his knobservations.
We could have called it Rick's observations, but you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
Well, I am not Rick. Rick is in another state. Perhaps a state that we will get to later.
Now, here's my question. When they do ENN,
yep,
and Peter's not there, there's a special intro for Andrew or others who will be running point on ENN.
Yep.
Why do we not have that for you with Knobservations and DHIF?
If you want to know, I don't think we've gotten to that point with him missing time. I mean, maybe, I guess, later in the month of August, but he simply hasn't missed enough of these to warrant
but
new intros.
Who ran it last week?
I believe I did, but okay. I believe Santiago has run it also once,
okay.
too. So.
So you ran it last week. You're running it this
you're
week.
You're right, so I guess
you'll
need
be running it next week. You'll be running it the week after.
You're right.
And you'll be running it the week after that.
Well, I'm not big on I mean, we'll move on with this, but I'm not big on making production for myself. I think it's a little narcissistic, but I get your
not
point.
Not narcissistic. It's accurate and it's necessary.
I don't think it is.
All right, go ahead.
Anyways, Aaron Rodgers, guys, he's still talking about his... we'll call it his relationship with his current general manager, Brian Gutekunst. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
I think it's a work in progress, for sure. Relationships aren't formed in a matter of a couple of days. You know, there's time where the respect grows and the communication follows. You know, I think the greatest relationships that you have, you know, with your friends and loved ones involve conversations that flow. You know, you can not talk to a close friend for a few months and pick up right where you left off. There's no break in communication. There's no forced conversations or you got to hit this person up because it's on your to-do list that day. You know, it's all about wanting to have those conversations and wanting to, you know, to be in conversation like that. And, you know, we've had a couple conversations and been positive conversations.
Boy, he's very chatty, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, Dave.
He's got a lot to say now.
He's giving his best Dr. Phil impersonation, talking about what relationships are and how they can grow and taking time. I just think this is all kind of bizarre. I mean, it feels like it's a forced marriage, right? Because he clearly didn't want to have to come back to Green Bay, but he wasn't willing to sit out an entire season.
Of course,
so now
not.
He's going to be under center.
But
I mean, it's not like the relationship with him and Brian Gutekunst is going to be one where it's like, okay, we're going to be together for the rest of our careers. That's
nor
not what it's going
to
be.
Nor does it have to be, right? Just here's the thing. I liked what he did last week. I love that long, you know, wordy press conference. I got what I needed to get out of it. I'm done. I don't need you to sit here and wax poetic on the relationship and what it's like to talk to dear friends and close friends and people you haven't spoken to in a while. I get it. You're not going to be in Green Bay next year. They're going to trade you after the season. I don't need to hear it all the time now.
You know what this reminds me of, and I can only relate this to what I've experienced and seen people go through. Yeah, a couple of close friends, if you have, like they started dating maybe in like middle school, early high school, and they're going to college far away next year. Like you're going into your senior year of high school, and you know you got 1 year. That's kind of what this is. You're kind of watching it wither away right in front of our eyes.
It's over. Yeah. It's over.
But anyways, so yesterday, I'm not sure if you guys saw this. Major League Baseball, they released their entire schedule for 2022, all of it. Nationals are at the Mets, the Yankees are at the Rangers. But here's what I'll ask you. This is all, of course, pending that there is a season. The CBA runs out in a few months, in December, and the sense is that a work stoppage is coming. So we don't have to stop and talk about this long, but what are the odds? How would you assess at this point that baseball starts on time next year?
Oh, I'd say the odds are next to zero.
Right.
Really?
That it starts on time. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, the way that the relationship is between the union and the owners... forget about it. I mean, we saw how it played out in 2020 with the pandemic. Like, this is a bad relationship. And when you start talking about money and inject that into the conversation, it's only going to get worse.
I just can't imagine that there's... well, maybe I should. Maybe it's naive of me that they're so stupid that as viewership, as interest is waning in this game, as people just don't have the same feel for baseball, as the average age that watches it gets older and older and older, that they would be so dumb to shoot themselves in the foot and not start the season on time. But you know what? I think that there's probably a pretty good chance of that. I put it at 50-50. You wanted a percentage, RJ? I love the percentage. I put it at 50-50 that we see baseball.
Wow. That's much higher than I thought we
could. That's a lot of confidence.
Yeah. On March 31st. And that's when the Mets are supposed to open against Washington, right? March 31st?
Yes.
Yes.
That is correct. All right. Okay. So we don't have to look too far for a – now, I'm not calling this person a knob. I'm just saying this had knobbish tendencies to the vocab being used. Let's revisit this from really just a couple of hours ago.
Santi decided to coincidentally take the day off today.
Yeah, but we got Dino pinch hitting. We're going to be good.
Oh, I'm not saying we're not in great. Maybe better hands. I'm just saying that I don't think it's a coincidence.
Wow.
Santiago.
Shots at Santiago, huh?
You heard the way he
You really do enjoy getting after him, don't you?
Well, yeah,
you enjoy
needling him, don't you? Thing. This is odd, and this may be unfair. I will like a person more or less based on the teams that, yes, in fact, they root for.
You've had a couple hours to think about it. Mm. Do you still feel that way?
More so than ever, yes. Yes. 100%.
And you're calling out Ray, who's not here. Ray of the Santiago variety. Ray Deanahan's nice enough to help us out. Who's awake right now? Who probably heard all that? He's probably crushed.
Well, I can only be true to myself. And in the truth-telling, if you root for the Cowboys, if you root for the Eagles, I look at you as less of a person. I don't like you in the same variety that I would someone else, and I stand by that. Yes, absolutely.
Well, RJ, you got to appreciate the integrity. He's not changing. He's not waffling.
No, you almost wish you would. I almost set you up to waffle to take.
No,
I will not waffle.
I will not waffle
to take the nice guy exit, which I paved for you and gave you the off ramp. But that's okay.
When have you ever thought of me as just the nice guy?
I'm trying.
I don't play that role.
No.
And therein lies the beauty of what I bring to the table. If you get it, if you ask me a question and you get you always get a true answer. So if I tell you I like something or I think you've done well, you should be proud of that because it's genuine and it's legitimate.
That's a
man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, so no one got naked in this story that we know of. You've actually probably seen this story. But I don't know if you know where it was going. So, on a Frontier flight, there was a passenger that was accused of doing a lot of things you really can't do anywhere, but especially on a floating tube of air through the sky. He was harassing flight attendants. He was threatening to fight people. He was one of those. And it all ended with this man. Can we say his name? Maxwell Berry. That his parents were worth $2 million, and essentially alluding that he could do whatever he wanted.
He can buy and sell this airline.
If you've ever flown Frontier, you'd wonder about some of the planes. But, so, here's the backstory on him. He was a perfect role model, people said, balancing academics and a golf career during his time at Ohio Wesleyan University. So, here's what I'll ask you. He was so out of control that the crew duct taped him to the seat for the remainder of the flight. And actually, now that actually got them in trouble, but in real time, if you watch the video, they were applauded for their efforts. The crew.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
The guy is belligerent. The guy is threatening violence, Chris. And I don't know, drunk or not, mm-hmm. I guess that's up for interpretation. They duct tape him to his seat, and they got, I believe, suspended from work. How?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm hoping that it was one of those suspensions pending an investigation and the results of said investigation. But, I mean, clearly the guy was the one in the wrong, not the flight attendants, because that guy posed a threat to everybody that was on that flight.
Yes.
So here's what I'll ask you. Was that flight headed to Florida?
Headed to Florida.
Yes. It did not take off in Florida, I will tell you that.
Okay.
Was it headed to Florida?
I'm going to say the way you're phrasing, headed to Florida, that yes, in fact, it was headed to the great state of Florida.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm jumping on that Dave Rothenberg train. I mean, I don't think you would have went into such details about where it was headed if it wasn't actually headed to Florida.
And Ray?
I believe it was because they had so much duct tape, and that's basically hardware down in Florida, right?
Can fix anything. That's a great job out of all three of you. It was indeed headed to Florida, and once he landed, this gentleman, Maxwell, he was charged with 3 misdemeanor counts in Miami-Dade County. Now, here's the fun part. He said his parents were worth $2 million, right? Which, I mean, I don't have $2 million, but there are people that have $2 million of net worth. It's not that crazy. Mm-hmm. If you're going to throw that around, I thought we'd be talking, 20, 30, $100 million.
I would say this. If you get to, because he's what, in his 30s?
He's 22.
Oh, is that young?
Yeah.
All right. So his parents probably right in their 50s.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe it doesn't really add up. I was going to say, if they're like retirement age, I would think that they would have money like that. But
anyway, so somebody looked this up. They have a two-story home in Norwalk, Ohio, worth around $220,000. So there's a lot of net worth to make up there to get to that $2 million, which could be true.
Well, maybe they have the pension funds or large 401k.
Yeah, nice.
That's a large 401k, Dave.
A nice Rothy IRA.
Yeah, that's right. After me.
That concludes today's endeavor.
All right, there you have it. Very well done. You know what I'd like for next week? I'd like you to have your own open.
So I'm going to ask you something that's going to make you uncomfortable.
Uh-oh.
How would you know if it airs or not?
Oh, I have people.
Oh.
Because I will not be up listening. Well, at 6:45, yeah, no, I will not be up listening at 6:45 next week. But I know that my people will be. And they'll send me tweets whether or not you have your own open next week.
So, and by people, you mean Lonnie, right?
I mean Lonnie. I mean Pedro. Like if you, we're starting. You know, Kay has his Carmy. We're starting to get a DCR army. A DCR.
What does he call it? The Carmy.
The Carmy. The K Army.
Nah,
so the Carmy.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
You don't like that?
They might need a new name for that.
Maybe we should be the DC Army.
No. We can come up with a different name for that. It doesn't have to be Army. It doesn't have to end with Army. I don't know what it is, Dave. Just give me some time. I'm not the resident idea guy. That's Rick DiPietro.
Okay.
I mean, I think we can come up with something a little more creative than Army or DCR Army.
Regardless of what we call them, I do believe, and Chris, I think you would concur, that they will reach out to us and tell us whether or not RJ has his own open for observations and DHIF next week.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it.
Yeah. So, let me ask you guys.
Around 6:45, 6:50, we're going to know
it's
going to be in our mentions at 7 o'clock.
Exactly. Next Thursday, I want Lonnie, Pedro, Josh, all the guys that are constantly tweeting to the show to tweet us and let us know whether RJ has his own open. See, now look what you've done, RJ. You've pitted the masses against you.
Not at all. Especially when they find out that what the truth is, which I think you're looking at this K-Show endeavor as a tryout, is what I think.
No.
I think that's what's happening.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.